Simply the Gospel, a radio Bible study resource ministry of Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church of Columbus, Indiana. Hello, this is Jim Pursley thanking you for joining me today for our 15-minute audio devotional sermon taken from our Gospel of Matthew Bible study. You can find our Gospel of Matthew Bible study and other helpful resources at www.sovereignchristbiblefellowship.com. You are listening to Lesson 11, The Faith That Saves, from Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 through 34. In the Gospel of Matthew, we see saving faith illustrated by people on the receiving end of miracles. There are many diverse miracles in the Gospel of Matthew performed by Jesus, and it provides us with an increased clarity so that we can see that the only reasonable object of faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. There are so many things in our world today that vie for our attention and our affection. Even in Christian circles, there will be emphasis placed on this spiritual discipline or that spiritual discipline or this act of worship or that act of worship. But the Scriptures draw our attention constantly to the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 through 34, we see faith at work. Faith that is focused on Jesus Christ. The object of faith in Scripture, and get this now, the object of faith in Scripture is always God, and God has revealed Himself to us in the person of Jesus Christ. So the first lesson we can glean from any study in the Gospels or any of the Epistles is that the object of faith is Jesus Christ. I think it's helpful to make connections when we study the Bible. And in Matthew, when Jesus healed, we can connect that healing to the spiritual reality of saving faith, the saving of a soul. The healings that we see in Scripture should be connected to the very saving of a soul. Likewise, faith in Jesus and His power to heal, cure, to make clean and set free can be connected to the spiritual reality that transpires in a person who has faith in Jesus, faith in Him to save from sin's penalty and power. Get that? The spiritual reality is we are given the pleasure of seeing a spiritual reality in the physical healings that took place as recorded in the various Gospels. We have to also remember, and we see this clear in the Gospels, no one was ever healed without faith in Jesus, a present and active faith. In the same way, no one is ever saved apart from faith in Jesus. So what constitutes saving faith? First, we have to get this. We can't miss one of the most basic but powerful biblical truths about faith, in particular, saving faith. Saving faith is completely dependent upon the grace of God. Faith is a gift. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 tell us this. And I'm going to read it because it's such an important passage for us in our Christian faith to get this. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So first, saving faith depends completely on God and His grace. Second, saving faith is applied practically only as it responds to God through faith in Jesus. So salvation, the saving faith for salvation is a gift from God. Faith is a gift from God, but there is no saving apart from faith applied and anchored upon the person of Jesus Christ. So, we see this, the practical application of saving faith, in the following three stories that we find in Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 through 34. And the first story we come to illustrates the saving faith of a father whose daughter had died and a woman who was subject to a debilitating illness. A man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came kneeling before Jesus for a prolonged time. In other words, he came to him, he fell down before him on his knees and stayed there before the Lord Jesus Christ. And he told Jesus, he said, "My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live." Isn't that beautiful? His prolonged kneeling, first of all, indicates worship, reverence, hope, worship, reverence, worshiping Christ in reverence with hope. He was grieving, yet against all hope that he had, he hoped in Jesus. His daughter was very sick. She was on the verge of death. But he humbled himself before the Lord, worshiping him, presenting his request to the Lord. I have to believe that at some point prior to this moment, Jairus had been enlightened. Perhaps he would have been in the hearing of Jesus' teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum earlier in Jesus' ministry. In Luke chapter 4, verses 18 through 21 gives us an indication that Jesus had been preaching or ministering at this synagogue in Capernaum when he first launched into his public ministry. And at that very time, I believe, when he would have heard Jesus speaking at the synagogue over which he was the ruler, seeds were planted and hope welled up as Jesus spoke. So seeds were planted when Jesus taught. They begin welling up with hope. And now, at Jairus' darkest hour, he needed help. He came to Jesus. Jesus' words produced faith in him. Jesus had been teaching in Capernaum when we come to Matthew chapter 9. And now faith has taken root. Faith is beginning to bear fruit. And it finds confession as he cries out to Jesus for help. Jairus was in a painful crisis. What painful experiences has God used to allow faith to find its full expression in your life, to be anchored in the person and work of the Lord Jesus? Can you recall painful experiences which yielded the first evidences of faith in the Lord Jesus for you? Well, we're told also in this story, as Jesus went to Jairus' house, that a woman reached out from behind Jesus and touched the hem of his cloak. It just says this: Jesus got up, went with his disciples. Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If only I touch his cloak, I will be healed." Her faith rested squarely on the person of Jesus Christ. She said to herself, I mean, he didn't even hear her say this, but she said to herself, "If I touch his cloak, I will be healed." And turning to her, the great heart knower turned to her, and without exchanging information, he acknowledged her faith as being the kind of faith that saves. He said to her, "Your faith has healed you." And at that very moment, she was healed. Mark's gospel account tells us that when she touched him, power went out from Jesus. That's in Mark chapter 5, verse 30. You may ask, what power went out from Jesus? The power to save went out from him when faith was engaged, even when no words were exchanged. Faith welled up in her heart and overflowed in action. And power went out from Jesus. That power that went out was the power to save. It could have been the power that gave her faith. I think it was the power to save in response to her faith, which was a gift from God to her. When you place faith in Jesus, power comes from him to you. This power is the wonderful working of the Spirit of Christ, transforming and renewing you through the life of Christ in you that comes through faith. And that's the good news. Being saved means that the life of Christ comes alive in you, a new life in you, and you're saved. We'll continue to talk about salvation as we go through the Gospel of Matthew over the next few months. Well, when Jesus entered the room of Jairus' house, there was a little girl and she was laying down. But Jairus' faith was rewarded. His daughter was raised from the dead. I mean, Jesus said, go away to the crowd that had gathered around to mourn. So the girl was already dead. Go away, the girl is not dead, but asleep. And these people laughed at Jesus. I have to believe Jairus did not laugh. And we learn that Jesus went in, took the girl by the hand, and she was raised. This miracle communicates the good news that faith in Jesus results in resurrection life in Him. It also teaches us that Jesus never refuses genuine faith in Him. Have you such a faith in Him? If not, will you ask Him to help you right now? Lord Jesus, help me to believe. Help me to have faith. Can you hear even in that prayer seeds of faith beginning to sprout? Call upon the Lord. Put into practice what faith you have and trust in Him. As we move to the story, the next story, the second story, we have Jesus' encounter with two blind men in verses 27 through 32. And here we see faith's confession as the men confess their faith in Jesus. Saving faith in Jesus is a confessing faith. Two men call out to Jesus. They're blind. They hear Him coming by, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." And in this very statement, they exhibited trust that Jesus was the right person to trust because He alone was able to provide the kind of mercy that provides relief from suffering. But they also confess in verse 28, the last part, that He is the Lord. I believe their acknowledgement of Jesus being the Son of David affirms that their confession of Jesus as Lord was a confession of faith, a confession of the right person as the one who could save them, who could heal them, who could make right what was wrong. And these blind men were healed. Their eyes were opened. He touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, it will be done for you." And their sight was restored. And that's a beautiful story. They believed in the right person. Have you trusted in the right person? Will you trust Him right now? Well, these former blind men were told not to confess. They weren't told what to confess, rather. No one told them what to say. It welled up in their hearts. Where did that come from? That kind of faith comes from God. We know what to confess, and we oftentimes don't. These men didn't know what to confess, and they did. Faith welled up in confession. You may have never confessed Jesus Christ as Lord. Perhaps this lesson today has just provided you with the knowledge that Jesus Christ is the right person to trust and believe in. Who will you tell today that you have trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Well, moving along to our final story, verses 32 through 34, faith springs into action. A man who is demon-possessed is brought to Jesus. This man was helpless. He couldn't take himself to Him. He couldn't walk. He wouldn't think about it, bringing himself to Jesus. It may be that the two former blind men brought their friend to Jesus. The King James Version in verse 32 lends some credibility to this. I like to think it was the blind men in response to their healing, to their saving. They went and took their friend by the hand and brought him to Jesus. But if it wasn't these two men, it was someone else who brought the man to Jesus by faith. Faith's confession must spill over into action. Confession is an action, but most people act on their faith and bring somebody to Jesus. At least in this story they did. Have you ever brought someone to Jesus? Bringing them to Jesus may mean that you bring them to Jesus through prayer. You might talk to them. You may read the Bible to them. That would be bringing them to Jesus to hear His Word. You may bring them to Jesus by inviting them to church. or the gospel is preached on a regular basis. You may bring them to Jesus by talking with another friend with them, having your friend brought before another friend who's competent or confident to tell the gospel. But you must bring them. Well, our passage concludes with at a crossroads. The crowd is beginning to believe that Jesus truly is from God. On the other hand, the Pharisees, that is the religiously serious, believe that Jesus was from the devil. They were at a crossroads. What would they believe? Perhaps you're at a crossroads right now. Who do you say Jesus is? Have you ever trusted him? Have you ever confessed him? Have you ever lived for him? Do you own him as both Savior and Lord? Listen, you can trust him right now. Will you confess him? Will you call on him right now? And if you have believed, would you bring someone to him right now? Thank you for listening to Simply the Gospel. And I pray that the eyes of your heart will be opened, that you may see the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ.